two readings I want to share with you today. The first one is a Christmas reading that you're going to be familiar with. We're going to join in the Christmas narrative part of the story as the shepherds enter into the birth narrative. This comes from the book of Luke, and I'm reading from chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and I'm reading from the Message this time. Hear now these words. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I am here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." And at once the angel was joined with a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest heavens. Peace to all men and women on earth who please Him. I also want to share with you today something by Mary Oliver. It's entitled, "Don't Hesitate." If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. That there are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is His way of fighting back. That sometimes something happens better than all the riches and power in the world. It could be anything. But very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Time of the year, isn't it? I mean, for many folks, the Christmas spirit is alive and well. Maybe you're smiling more, feeling joyful, or grabbing bites of tasty holiday treats. Lights and decorations are going up. Christmas movies are playing. And everywhere you look, there's a reminder that this season is special. It's hard not to get just caught up in all of this. Except in many churches, Christian churches, we are encouraged to not go there yet. In the midst of society celebrating, at least in part, something that most Christians hold near and dear to our hearts, that being the birth story of Jesus. In the midst of all of that, we, the Christian church, are often encouraged to wait, to not celebrate yet, to wait in anticipation as the rest of society around us is already singing full voice, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." As I mentioned a few years ago, during Advent, I have an unpopular opinion about Advent. The truth is, even some progressive ministers who have great respect for disagree with me about it. See, I believe that churches work way too hard to keep Advent relative and relevant. I also happen to believe that it's symptomatic of the church's larger issues. See, while Advent does date all the way back to the 4th or the 5th century about, the reality is that Advent is a made-up office of the church in which Christians are to prepare for the birth of Jesus, a birth story that many Christians and scholars already agree is, at the very least, not entirely historical. Originally, though, Constantine created Advent. He created Advent as a second season of spiritual preparation for those who were baptized. But you see, early on in the conversion of his country to Christianity, he had to move the entire nation and to be converted into Christianity, which meant baptism. And Lent alone simply wasn't enough time to get them all ready for baptism. So, he added Advent as another time for preparation for baptism. That was the original, very political purpose of Advent. Now, the reality is that most churches no longer emphasize that part of Advent. So when it comes to the original purpose, it is actually no longer needed in terms of the original purpose. But I also find it problematic because over time it has become known as a season of not only for anticipating the birth of Jesus, which we know is a mostly made up story, but also a season for anticipating Jesus' second coming. So I also have to say, if you don't take the Christmas story or the concept of the second coming fully literally, even the adapted reason for Advent is, well, lacking, to say the least. Which, in my mind, makes it more than unusual that today I am talking about joy. You see, today is the third Sunday of Advent. You can see we have three candles lit back here. It's the third Sunday of Advent. And the theme for the third Sunday of Advent is typically joy. So today, this anti-Advent progressive minister will be talking about a very Advent theme, joy. As I said when we started, I really do think this is one of the most wonderful times of the year. This time of the year, the bouncy lyrics of holiday music encourages us to be of good cheer. We sing about joy to the world, and we wish for a Merry Christmas. The faces of children tend to be just a little bit more joyful than other times of the year in their anticipation of the jolly old fat man's arrival. This time of year, this season, it's just sort of replete with joyfulness. Except when it isn't. I, for one, lost my dad several weeks ago. To be honest, Christmas feels more empty, like it's missing something because it is, than it feels joyous. And obviously, I'm not the only one who might find it a bit difficult to hold on to joyous Christmas. There has been so much loss this year. At least 30 transgender and gender expansive people lost their lives to violence directed at them. War continues in Ukraine. Genocide in Gaza, where nearly 40,000 people died this year, with 70% of those being men, the children, the women and children. Mass shootings in the U.S. this year have taken 648 lives and have injured more than 2,200. Frankly, I could go on and on. But the point here really is to say that it seems that we have plenty of reasons to not be joyful this holiday season, if that is our inclination. So today, I'd like to talk about how, in spite of all of this, we can and need to actively practice being joyful. Honestly, it's a powerful yet often overlooked aspect of our lives. That is, the importance of joy. Even in times of sadness, as we approach the joyous season of Christmas, this message, I believe, becomes even more poignant. Christmas is a time that traditionally symbolizes joy, love, togetherness. Yet, for many, it can also amplify feelings of sadness and loneliness or loss. I am certain that many of us have experienced the bittersweet nature of Christmas, where the joy of the season clashes with our personal challenges, be it the loss of a loved one, the absence of family, or the weight of unmet expectations. Having just been through and experienced Thanksgiving without my father for the first time, I, like many of you, are very painfully aware of those realities. But I would like to remind you today, and remind myself, that joy is not merely a reaction to our circumstances. Joy is not merely a reaction to our circumstances. As difficult as it is to hear, and as difficult as it is sometimes to do, joyfulness is a choice that we can make, a gift that we can give ourselves and to others. As Tik.com once said, sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, and sometimes your smile is the source of your joy. Or as Henry Nouwen once said, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. One of my favorite things about Christmas is all the wonderful stories that come along with it. As a storyteller and a writer and an avid reader, it shouldn't surprise you. Most of them, you know, have little messages about Christmas somewhere tucked within them. Our scripture reading today is just a small example of that. The angels appear to the shepherds watching over their flock to tell of the coming birth of Jesus. And they describe it as a joyful event that's meant for everyone. That is what the season is meant to be, a joyful event meant for everyone. Consider a very different Christmas story by the theologian Theodore Geisel, the story of the Grinch. He started with a heart two sizes small, overwhelmed by bitterness and disdain for the holiday season. Yet, through the love and resilience of the Whos in Whoville, he discovered a profound truth, that joy can transfer even the coldest of hearts. His journey teaches us that when we open ourselves to joy, even amidst sadness, we allow ourselves to connect with the beauty of life and the bonds that unite us all. Not only is Christmas a time when we need to be reminded of the importance of practicing joyfulness, even when we don't feel so joyful, it is also a reminder of that. One of my favorite parts of Christmas are all the amazing Christmas lights that we get this time of year. And as they shine against the wintry darkness, they can symbolically, if we allow them to, they can symbolically remind us that of the reality that even in our dimmest moments, there is light to be found. Be it the laughter of children as they unwrap gifts, the warmth of shared meals as we'll have today, and the simple act of giving, each one of them, like so many of the experiences of Christmas, cultivates joy. Each time we choose to fully take and embrace these moments, we reclaim a piece of our joy, proving that joy can coexist with sorrow. Moreover, let's not forget the power of community during this season. Many of us find solace in helping others, whether it's volunteering at a local shelter, donating gifts, contributing to Spartan Open Pantry, which you can do this coming Saturday from 10 to 12 o'clock in the parking lot across the street, or simply reaching out to a neighbor in need. In these acts and others like them, we often find our joy renewed, or at least the beginnings of it being renewed. I can't, being the person who loves stories and loves Christmas, I can't give a message that talks about Christmas stories and about the importance of finding some joy without talking about one of my personal favorite heartwarming transformations of one of the literature's most notorious misers, Ebenezer Scrooge, of course. As I am sure you remember, Scrooge at the beginning of the story is sort of enveloped in a shroud of greed, isolation, and bitterness. He dismisses Christmas as a mere charade, a time for foolishness and frivolity, something that I can sometimes relate to. His life is a stark reflection of the emptiness that comes from hoarding wealth and rejecting human connections. But, as we all know, as that tale unfolds, we witness a miraculous metamorphosis. Through the haunting visits from the spirits of Christmas past, present, and yet to come, Scrooge is forced to confront the consequences of his action and the loneliness that his choices have brought. And it's during those moments of reflection and revelation that he begins to understand the true essence of joy. Not in the material wealth, but in the warmth of relationships, the spirit of giving, and the joy of community. He discovers that true joy lies in the connections we forge and the love that we share. Let me say that again because it's particularly important for those of us finding it hard to be joyful right now. Scrooge discovers that the true joy lies in the connections that we forge and the love that we share. Moreover, because of that, he discovers that, in part, it is the choice that we can make. In the end, Ebenezer Scrooge teaches us a very vital lesson. It is never too late to change, to open our hearts, and to find joy. His journey reminds us that the spirit of Christmas lives not just in one season, but in every act of kindness we extend to each other. So, let us take a page from Scrooge's story. Let us embrace the joy of community, the warmth of friendship, and the beauty of generosity today and every day, let us choose joy. As we celebrate this Christmas season, I encourage you to reflect on the power of joy. Remember the words of the angels to the shepherds in the story of the birth of Jesus in the book of Luke, which remind us that the life and teachings of Jesus, when put into practice, can bring us and the rest of the world joy. Embrace it, even when you feel sad. It's also perfectly fine to feel sad, but one doesn't exclude the other. But don't forget to, as Malin told us, choose joy and keep choosing it every day. Let it guide you. Let it uplift those around you. And remember that joy is not the absence of sadness, but rather the presence of love, hope, and connection. May your Christmas season be filled with warmth, community, love, and most importantly, joy.
Thank you.
Hopefully you have a handout that says Prayer of the People. It's about a half sheet. I'm going to ask you to join me on this prayer in the parts that are printed in bold. We will read together. Let us share this Prayer of the People. Even as we seek joy for ourselves and for our community this Christmas season, we also seek and work towards more joy for all people. Where there is conflict, terrorism, and war, we give thanks for those who work for peace and reconciliation. Where there is exploitation of the weak and the poor, we give thanks for those who work for emancipation. Where there are refugee camps, prisons, compounds, and ethnic discrimination, we give thanks for those who work for justice and equality. Where there is hunger, malnutrition, disease, and despair,
thanks for those who bring compassion and practical help. Well, where there are the lonely, the suffering and the sorrowing, we give thanks for those who are lovingly there for them. Where the church is weak and struggling against big odds, we give thanks for those who constantly and consistently practice the love. May we all find more joy this Christmas, and may we share that joy more fully with others. Amen. Receive this blessing that you walk with each other in harmony, recognizing that we are one. And may you know joy and happiness throughout your life. May your words and your actions share that joy and happiness with all of those you meet.
You can sing this if you want to.